ultimately, we want money, right? And if we and if we can legally take money, people are going to take money. If Apple could probably go, if they would go and be like, yo, you reckon we can get away with like 50%? They would have done it. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Watch Time. Today, we got some very, very exciting and very relevant topics to talk about because it's all been going down between Epic Games and Apple. There's been some stuff that went down last week and then some stuff that's happened a lot more recently. Basically, it's a story that's constantly evolving. It's pretty crazy. And today, Grace and I are going to be talking about it, breaking it down, giving our opinions, telling you what we think. It's pretty crazy stuff, isn't it, Grace?
Yeah, it's actually nuts. I'm really, really keen to get into this. Yeah. I feel like, yeah,
I should probably
this
catch
is going to be a
up.
Very current event episode.
Yeah. So I'll give everyone a little breakdown on what exactly happened first. So basically, yes. Long story short, for those of you who aren't aware, platforms like the Apple Store, like the App Store and Google Play, when you buy anything off that store, or if you even buy something within any of the apps on that store, like an in-game currency, Apple or Google, they take 30% of that. So if you spend $100 on V-Bucks, then Apple gets $30 of that money just for the fact that the app is on their store. Now, the other week, Epic tried to do something a little bit cheeky, which was all very much part of a plan that we can get into. But what they did was they added a way that you could buy currency through their mobile app for Fortnite. So you could buy V-Bucks, but you could do it without actually going through Apple, meaning that all of the money went to Epic and Apple didn't get anything. They did the same for Google Play. And obviously, for both those guys, that's a pretty big no-no. They like taking their money. They like their 30% cut. They like being worth literally $1 trillion as a company. So they decided to ban Fortnite from both the stores. It got taken down from Google Play and it got taken down from the Apple Store for violating their TOS. Now, immediately after this happened, Epic clearly knew that this was probably the likely outcome. They filed a lawsuit against Apple and against Google Play, essentially saying that their current, like the way they operate in the market is anti-competitive. It's not fair. They basically bully developers into paying whatever they want. And they've basically taken them into some very, very serious legal action. On top of that, they also put out a bit of a propaganda video where it was a parody of a Google ad from 1980, which I thought was actually really well done. And then they've also tried to rally the entire community around it. Now, the last thing I'll mention, there's some stuff that's happened more recently that we'll get into next. But the last bit of context I want to give is Epic, as they announced that they were adding in this new payment method, which they knew would get them banned from the store, basically came out and said, because we're able to save all this money by not going through Apple and Google, we're going to pass the savings on to you. So it costs us 20, 30% less to sell V-Bucks to you directly. So we're just going to discount V-Bucks by 20, 30%. So they got all the community on their side. They discounted it on PC as well, even where there wasn't a change. And ultimately now that's the situation where we're at. Fortnite is no longer available on mobile, essentially. The game still exists, but it can no longer update. And when the new season drops in less than 10 days, that is going to be a big, big deal. Google is currently taking it off the App Store. So is Apple. They're currently in a bit of a lawsuit going back and forward. And that is pretty much the situation as it stood a week ago. There's been a more recent thing that happened, but we'll get into that later. But right now, what do you think of the first stuff that went down? Because it was pretty hectic.
I'm going to say that was a really good summary.
Thank you, Elliot.
Like, I don't know if you read the comments on the YouTube video, but people are always saying that you go off on like crazy tangents. Like,
you actually warned me before I started. You're like, I was like, yeah, I'll give everyone the breakdown. You were like, yeah, but like, you know, keep it like, you know, kind of on track, you know, like don't go off.
People are always joking that like you'll start with one point and then end up somewhere completely different, and then like 10 minutes later you'll be like, so back to what I was saying.
So anyway, let me tell you why we need to save the penguins.
I think I didn't probably quite understand the significance of it when it first happened. And then I saw Twitter obviously going crazy, which is where like I feel like I get all my pop culture news these days. But the thing that really hit me actually was that at the moment we are working on a campaign with a mobile company that for the campaign, we have to show how you can play Fortnite on mobile. And I literally like am seeing all of this go down on Twitter at like 11 p.m. and I text the client and I'm like, hey, so don't know if you saw this or not, but like, is this going to impact the campaign that we're literally meant to be playing on Fortnite on mobile, like tomorrow? So that was like my first impact of like how it was going to impact me. But I guess like as a creator,
That was very funny because that mobile campaign was in the pipeline for like weeks and weeks and weeks. It was like on the eve of actually happening. And then it was like, is Fortnite literally not being available on your device going to affect this? Yeah, probably. that was funny.
What was your reaction?
I mean, my reaction is I've seen a lot of reactions. I think the community seems to either be in the camp of, well, Epic violated their TOS, so that's what they get, you know, getting banned from the store. Like, either, you know, play the game or just don't play at all. I've seen another group that's like, they're all billion-dollar companies. They're all, you know, assholes. Like, I hate them all. And then there's people, which I think I'm more in this group of, obviously, like, don't get me wrong, Epic's profit motivated. They want to do this so they can make more money. I'm not an idiot. But I also don't think that they're wrong or that, you know, that what they're doing is in any way bad. In fact, I think it's very, very good for the industry as a whole. So I guess where I'm keen to start, though, and get your thoughts is, do you think that the way that Apple and Google Play like kind of operate in the app stores, is that like a monopoly? Like, do they have like too much market power? Because just as a little bit of context for anyone, the only way effectively, bar some very, very weird, dodgy ways that isn't really feasible for the average consumer, the Google Play Store and the Apple Store are the only ways you can get apps on Apple devices or Android devices effectively.
This is something that I was really thinking about at the start. And one of my first reactions was, well, you know, Apple's got the keys to the kingdom. And if you want to play in their world, then that's what you sign up for. And, you know, they have that power. They can do with it what they will. Then I obviously sort of came around from that because I think that's just a bit of a too simplistic view on the situation. Like, the fact is, it's not as simple as saying like, hey, developers, if you don't want to play by the rules of the App Store, just don't be on Apple phones, because it's just not commercially realistic these days. Apple makes up so much power. Mobile is a way of life. It's not realistic for people to just say like, if you don't like the rules, don't put it on Apple, because that actually is anti-competitive.
Yeah.
If developers had to make that choice because they couldn't afford the fees at Apple, it would be very bad for competition and very bad for their own development. So I think that's a little bit too simplistic to think.
It's a weird analogy, and I know there's definitely a better one than this, but it's the only one I've been able to think of when I've been chatting to people about it. Is like, imagine if every single car in the world was made by a single manufacturer and they were like, you are only allowed to use this brand of petrol and we are going to charge X amount extra for it. Because ultimately, that's essentially it. It's kind of like, you bought a car, but now Apple is saying, well, you've got our car, but if you want to like use that car, you can only use it in this certain way, and we make money from that way. That's kind of like a weird analogy.
I like that analogy. And here's my counter to that analogy. When you buy an Apple product, there's a certain feeling that's associated with that. And I feel like Apple has really developed a brand value with their brand, which is that, you know, you could give an Apple device to your grandma and they'd know how to use it. You know, it's safe. Everything works well. You can't hack an Apple phone. If you download an app, it's going to work well. Like, I think they have, with their brand, associated it with a level of quality. And I think from their argument, if I was on their side, I'd be saying, well, hey, like, part of us being able to assure that quality to our end consumer is by having the App Store, and therefore making sure that any app that is on the App Store meets that level of quality. And that's ultimately what our end consumers want to buy our products for. And that is something where I'm kind of getting stuck, because I'm like, that's true. You know, you want to know that you can trust everything on the device that you're using.
So
what do you think?
Okay, so here's my counter.
Counter me again.
So number one, I mean, there is still the argument, like, it's not saying the App Store can't exist. It's just saying there's alternatives to it. So I actually use PC as a bit of an example, right? Like Steam. Okay. Steam is very similar. The most popular place for people to buy games on computer, or it definitely has been for the past 10 years. They take, I'm pretty sure, a 30% cut from developers. Same as the App Store, same as the Apple Store. The difference is... I have alternatives, and developers have alternatives. Developers can elect to start their own way to release games, you know? They can elect to put it on the Epic Games Store. They can elect to have their own launcher, like what Origin and Ubisoft do. You know, like, there are options and there are choices there. And ultimately, I get what you mean by their brand control. And I think the App Store can still exist, and you can still tell you... By the way, there are a lot of really crappy apps on the App Store, just to clarify. Like, it's not like it's not like they have some golden standard they're adhering to. But I think the point is that you could still have you could still allow alternative services that guarantee quality. Like, the Epic Game Store doesn't have a bunch of, like, horrible virus software on it. But it exists as an alternative to Steam, you know, competitive in the market. And I think that at least, you know, the same way there's all that debate around where, you know, if you buy an Apple product, Apple basically does everything in their power, and they sue people who offer services where they'll offer to repair Apple products outside of the Apple ecosystem. Yeah. And it's not about, like, regardless if it voids the warranty, Apple doesn't want you to do it because then they can't charge you $500 for a new screen. Whereas I'm very much in that, I bought the product. I own this phone now. This is mine. What I want to do with it and how I want to fix it and how I want to use it, that's my business. So I think I do get your point.
Apple is definitely not new to these issues. They've had a number of issues with developers in the past. They had a bunch of issues with, like, Spotify. Like, I don't know if you've been on this one, Elliot, but obviously they take a cut of Spotify subscriptions that are purchased on the App Store, which is nuts. Like, just imagine how big that is. So they force Spotify to pay that fee on the App Store, but then on devices like the Apple Watch, you actually can't get Spotify on that. So it's like price gouging. I think that's a really interesting, like, sort of side issue.
But I guess things like if I buy something on Amazon on my phone, or if I buy Uber Eats, or I order an Uber or anything like that, I don't have to pay the App Store. So there are some weird incongruencies there. If it's a physical, real life item, they don't take a cut. If it's digital, they do. It sounds, for me right now, I think it's inconsistent. And I definitely do think that it is, it's an abuse of monopoly power, really. Because ultimately, it's saying, we are, because you cannot say, because people say, oh, well, then just don't put it on the iPhone. No, if you're a company that's developing apps for phones, the iPhone has to be, like, a core part of your business strategy. Model. So right now, the only way to get your app onto the iPhone is through them basically being like, well, you have to go through us or you can't come here at all. And then they're using that power to say, well, because they don't have an alternative, we can really charge them what we want. And I've seen a lot of people tweeting like, oh, no, Apple needs the 30% to keep the lights on, you know? They've got a lot of expenses. Like, bro, they're absolutely gouging people. They know that they don't need 30% of every single sale to run the App Store. And case in point, look at what... And this is where I actually am really on Epic's side. Epic... they talk the talk and they also walk the walk around around actually, I think, doing good stuff for developers. Now, don't get me wrong, I get consumers don't like some of their practices because they buy out exclusives to try and boost their platform, whatever. But I'm talking about their direct monetary relationship with developers is very, in pretty much every instance I've seen, very pro-developer. So if anyone doesn't know on the, so Steam, think of Steam, for anyone who doesn't have a computer, like the App Store, but for computer, right? But Epic made their own alternative, which is the Epic Game Store, basically just places where you buy games on computer. Now, Steam takes a 30% cut. Epic made their alternative, and I believe, and I'm probably going to be 1 or 2 percentage points off here, they take 14% if you're any random game, or only 8% if you developed it on the Unreal Engine, which is their own personal game engine. So they're literally taking less than a third of what Steam does. They're distributing these games on PC, which are vastly bigger downloads, a lot of the time much bigger servers to upkeep. They've got probably similar, if not more, expenses per game sale than what a company like Apple would have. And they're able to run that as a business model at 8% versus 30. Apple and Google are absolutely using the power they have to gouge developers of as much money as they can. And I don't think anyone can really argue that.
So here's something I'm keen to get your thoughts on around that issue is Apple is a publicly listed company, right?
Yeah.
So what would it have taken? Like, do you think it actually was necessary for a company like Epic to force this issue with Apple for them to be forced to make a change? Because right now, I agree with you. I think Apple is in a really good position. The App Store is a very, very important part of their overall business model. But if what change would they have made that would have appeased developers and people putting things on the App Store that wouldn't have actually pissed off their shareholders? Like, don't you think that if they were to make a change that was like, hey, you know what, we're gonna just, you know, do a good one, you know, be the good guy here and like give you a discount, that would have actually been bad for them as a public company because it wouldn't have been doing right by the shareholders?
Oh, 100%. But literally that is why like these processes and these litigations have to happen is that is the problem with capitalism. Ultimately, we want money, right? And if we can legally take money, people are going to take money. If Apple could probably go, if they would go and be like, yo, you reckon we can get away with like 50%? They would have done it. They're a capitalist company. Mm-hmm. They want to make money. That's literally the economy. I think this kind of like action actually is exactly what needs to happen for anything to change. But that's literally everything. That's the whole reason there's laws around monopoly. It's because we've identified where capitalism can run a little bit rampant. It can get a little bit out of control. It can get abusive of people who don't have the same market power. And that's why we have those checks and balances in there. And I think that that's what this is. I think that it's kind of like gotten to a point where it's like, okay, this really is kind of ridiculous at this stage. You're taking vast sums of money for really not that much work. There's no way they'd do it voluntarily because, like you say, they have shareholders. The shareholders want them to make money.
I feel like it's almost like the law just hasn't caught up with the status of how these big tech companies work these days. You know, like it's all well and good to just say like, oh, Apple's just a mobile company or Apple's just a tech company. And therefore, you know, if they want to introduce a product like the App Store, they're fully entitled to do so. And they can charge whatever they want for that, like demand and supply. If people want to pay for it, they're happy to pay for it. And I feel like that's a totally valid argument when the iPhone was just invented and apps weren't even a thing in the way that we currently use them. And therefore, it's like, oh, you want an app? Like, this is what you have to pay to have an app on an Apple phone. And I feel like that's like totally fine until the status of what Apple actually is and what it means for the community and the society and consumers of so many consumers in the world that it's like they're not just a company. Like they're holding the keys to this kingdom that society is very much like propped up against. I'm not just talking about the fact that like people need to be able to play Fortnite on their phones. We're obviously talking about the fact that like Epic is arguing for a much, much bigger cause than just the fact that people want a discount on V-Bucks.
And I think ultimately, you know, like people aren't wrong. Although, like, to be fair, like, granted, I think from this whole move, like, and I once again do not know the numbers, but I would assume that Epic would actually have ended up with more money if they just kept charging the regular price for V-Bucks and paid the 30% on the App Store, because they've discounted even like PC V-Bucks by, I think, 20%. So, like, overall, they're losing a huge amount of money across the board here doing what they're doing. So, don't get me wrong. I'm not numb to the fact that they are a profit-driven company that wants to make money. And I'm sure that fundamentally that is the goal behind what they're doing. But I also, I think that just being like, oh, you know, greedy billion-dollar company is maybe being a little bit too simplistic. And I, and I, yeah. do, And I do genuinely think, and I've always thought this, I think the cut that Steam takes from developers is obscene. It's the reason Valve has been able to exist as a company for so long. Valve doesn't do anything. They have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of employees, and all they do is sit there not making games other than Half-Life. They pumped out one game in the last 10 years. I used to love Valve, man. But literally, Steam made them lazy because they were just sitting there with this bit of software taking 30% from every single sale and making more money than, like, 100 times the money they would if they released the greatest game of all time. Like,
sorry, just, like, wait till we have Valve employees in the comments of this video being like, dude, I fucking bust my ass for this company every day. Like, we're working on really a lot of things.
Yeah, no,
you're
but
Valve employees sit around and do nothing.
No. Let me rephrase. Like Valve, they do a lot there, and I think they actually employ a lot of really talented people. But the thing is, they don't need to run or operate like a normal company. A normal company is like, hey guys, we need to make money, so we're going to do this project. This project is going to be a thing, and we're going to release it at X date. Valve's like, we're making hundreds of millions from this thing. People just keep giving us money, and we just put their game on the store. It's crazy. And they're just sitting there. They're like, and the guy's like, oh, you know that game we're making? Yeah, we're just not vibing it. They're like, oh, we don't care. Like, we're making enough over here. Like, it's fine. You know, it's fine. We don't actually need that money.
We got you. But we'll spot you.
But because, like, really, like, they're not, you know, like, if they were a profit-driven company, they wouldn't have released Half-Life 3 as a VR-only game. Like, that's not, like, that's not where the money is made. They would have released it on every platform, released it on PC. Which is, like, so it's cool that it lets them explore awesome stuff. But I think it also does show how ridiculous that business model is in terms of the money they're making. Because it just allows you to exist in this fantasy land where...
Yeah.
Like, why make games when you're literally taking a third of the money that every single game on PC sells for without doing any... Like, obviously, running Steam is work. It has server costs. But relative to everything else, it's not that much.
Dude, anyway, I feel like I'm... talking about Steam right now. Like,
I know.
Apple's taking 30% on everything. Like, subscriptions, Netflix, Spotify, dating apps, like all of these billion-dollar companies.
Think about like the amount of money you hear about Clash of Clans making. Then think about all the competitors to Clash of Clans. Then combine all that money. Then think about the fact that Apple's taking a third of that. And also, that's only a fraction of the mobile market. There's gambling apps. There's people buying super likes on Tinder.
My God.
There's a million things out there that people are just like, and Apple's just raking it in.
The super likes on Tinder is what's really just like,
it's really key.
That's getting them over. I think it is really interesting though, and I think this will lead into the next point, that all of this comes off the back of less than a month ago, a Senate inquiry into the four big tech firms being Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and oh my God, why did I just blank on that? What am I talking about?
Google?
Apple? Google. Oh my God. The
that
biggest
one.
Of them all.
They're a little small. You might not have heard of them. They're a bit of a startup. They're going places though, trust me.
Yeah. So it comes off the back of a Senate inquiry into those big four tech firms, which was basically looking into the fact that did these four companies, do they have too much market power? Are they able to exhibit monopolistic behavior? And are they able to like price gouge basically on the end consumer? And part of what the inquiry into Apple was about the App Store and whether or not they were treating developers fairly and if they could potentially treat developers differently. Like, could they charge one person 30% and one person 15% or waive certain things in some cases? And they pushed back pretty hard on that, but they were challenged on the point as to whether or not they would ever retaliate against developers that perhaps spoke out about against Apple. And Tim Cook said to that point that we do not retaliate or bully people. It's strongly against our company culture, and they wouldn't ever retaliate against a developer for publicly voicing their grievances.
Yeah, so Epic basically came out over the past couple of days and basically revealed, and Apple had told them that if Epic didn't kind of like, you know, cease and desist with their lawsuit, that they were going to take away all of Epic's kind of like developer tools and developer access to what they basically need to run anything on the App Store. Now, obviously a lot of people are like, oh, well, they've already taken away Fortnite. Why does it matter? The reason that this is big is for those of you who don't know, Epic Games, before Fortnite was what they were known for, what their actual biggest thing, and probably what still makes up a huge amount of their business, I'm sure, is they make the Unreal Engine, which is basically like, think of it as like the building blocks that everyone, that people make games with, right? When you make a game, it's basically the software, like, you know, if you were to, you know, like any kind of software, it's the software that games get built in. And obviously not every single game in the world gets made on Unreal, but Unreal is generally considered to probably be the best and is made and manufactures a huge amount of not only games, but just software across the world. Now, if Apple removes Epic's developer tools for their store, they can't keep the Unreal Engine updated for the store anymore, which means that a whole bunch of app developers, number one, their apps would just probably stop working in the Apple Store. Yeah. But also number two, it would mean that in the future, developers probably wouldn't be making their games with the Unreal Engine anymore, which is basically, which is a huge amount of their business. So this seems like a very big kind of bullying maneuver from Apple.
Yeah.
Because this is very separate to, and honestly, this is one where I definitely think Apple's in the wrong, because I can fully create a one-to-one. It's like they changed something in the Fortnite app that wasn't in terms with the, you know, terms of service of the store. So they removed the app from the store. This seems very much like a, hey, Epic, we don't like you. You know, this big other thing that's going on over here that currently isn't violating any terms of service. We are going to punish you for what you're doing over here by hurting this. And that's very much
and
what
in
this
that,
like.
Knowing that we're punishing literally hundreds of thousands of other apps that use Unreal and are on the Apple Store, and therefore all those developers are going to hate you too, because you're the one that's forced this issue.
But also, it really does seem like a little bit of mutually assured destruction to me, you know, like the two people holding their fingers on the nuclear buttons, because this absolutely is bad for Epic, don't get me wrong, if it does happen, but it's also pretty bad for Apple, because like we said, a lot of games run on Unreal Engine. And if all of a sudden Apple's like, yeah, by the way, all these apps are gone, that's not good for them either.
It's an insane move by Apple. Like, this was for me the thing where I was like, they said what? Like, they're going to pull potentially Unreal from the Apple Store, because Apple relies on Unreal as well. Like, they have a number of different developers that have games that are in the Apple Arcade that are run off Unreal. So they will certainly feel the pain of that as well if they go through with it. But that's literally what they're saying that they're going to do at the moment, as of August 28th, apparently, if they don't sort this out before then, which obviously there's no way they're going to be able to sort out that sort of lawsuit in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I believe Epic is seeking an injunction to stop Apple from actually being able to do that while they sort out the matter, because otherwise it's just going to, that would be insane. I can't imagine that it's going to happen. Like, I hope I don't have to eat my words, but I really feel like they're not going to take away Unreal.
But it really did make me realize though, how, you know, big a deal this is, like, and if they're willing to, if Apple is pulling out the nuclear button over the fact that Epic is threatening their 30% cut from every app in the store, like, once again, we all know how much money apps make. We know how much, like, a single app like Clash of Clans makes. Now imagine that across every app in the store.
I don't think people know how much they actually make.
I reckon
you're gonna Google it. It's huge, but I think a lot of people probably don't realize just how huge it is.
Their revenue in 2019, apparently, was $1.6 billion.
That's a lot. With a B.
Yeah. Let's say a billion, I think, because there's a couple of different numbers I'm seeing. They made almost $1 billion. Now, think about the fact that's one app on the store. Apple's cut alone from that was probably $300 million. So that's $300 million. Now think about that as one app on the store, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of apps. many of which are doing just as successfully as that. This is literally a billion dollar issue for Apple. Like many billions of dollars here over many, 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 many years. If they lose this, this is ridiculously big.
Yeah.
And
it's life-changing for Apple.
Yeah, and 100%. So you can definitely understand why this is terrifying them, because ultimately, the reason it's probably terrifying them, the reason they're doing this, if they weren't worried, if they thought that they were fine and they knew that this was totally okay for them to be doing, they'd probably be like, yeah, okay, cool, we'll see you in court. Like, who cares? Like, we know we're fine.
Yeah.
But the reason they're probably freaking out is they're because they're probably going to the office like, yeah, boys, like, you know, like, I know what we said when we went to Washington, but, you know, this is a little bit of a monopoly, if we're totally honest. Let's be fucking real. Like, that's actually probably what they're like in the offices right now. Like, real. So I think they know they're very much towing a very delicate line, and that there is every chance that it could go either way. They're probably just terrified.
Nuts. I'm going to be super interested to see how it plays out.
But, okay, final little thing, just because I find this super interesting, and I don't know why it's the case. Whenever you hear this conversation going, it's all Apple, 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 Apple. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Google Play did that as well. Android is huge. I think the number of people using Google Play would be very comparable.
They are flying under the radar with
this. But it just seems weird to me. Like, I'll be like, oh, it also got removed from Google Play. People be like, what? Like, but, you know, like people just, Google doesn't seem to be as in the conversation.
I feel like Google did it like a day or two after Apple.
No, I think they did it first.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought they did it like a day after and they were just like, we'll let Apple like take the hit on this one and we'll just like slide in quickly after.
Well, okay. But you know what else is crazy? Sorry. I feel like we're getting near the end of this topic.
No, you're passionate.
Is that apparently Google... because this is actually, you know, talking about, obviously there's a lot of proactive bad stuff that Apple's done by, like, you know, threatening the developer tools. But apparently OnePlus was about to announce a big partnership with Fortnite, where they were literally going to have the Fortnite launcher and their own like Fortnite thing with the integrated payment system like already active on their phones when they get distributed. And Google literally had to go to OnePlus and basically force them to cancel that entire deal with the threat of being like, we won't let you have the Play Store on your phone if you do this.
Like, that's crazy.
Which is huge. But it basically just shows... But once again, if that's not monopoly power, I don't know what it is. They're basically forcing these totally separate companies to cancel a decision between them with the threat of, we have something really big and super important to you, and even though we have no legal justification for stopping you, we're just going to, like, you know, give you the middle finger if you don't go the way that we want you to.
Alrighty. Elliot, Fall Guys...
Fall Guys taking over the world. I mean,
dude,
like,
I haven't even played Fall Guys, and their Twitter is just all over my feed, and I'm loving it. Like, I haven't even played, and I'm like, this is amazing, and this is relevant for me in every way.
I mean, I think it's just genius. I think it's, you know, it's like the battle royale genre, which is obviously very popular. People like the idea of being the last one left out of a big group, but they've really... Mm-hmm. Number one, simplified it down so it's accessible to everyone. It's not like Fortnite these days, where if you're a newbie in Fortnite, like, you basically just may as well just jump off a cliff at the start of every game because you're not going to make it to the end. And they've simplified it down. They made it super colorful, super fun, super fast paced. Like, it's just a genius, fantastic game that's taken over the world. I don't think that it will be, you know, like, real. Like, don't get me wrong, I think people will still be playing it for a while to come, but I don't think it's going to be this super viral mega sensation like Fortnite was for multiple, multiple years. I would give it a month of people really caring about it. And I would love to be proven wrong. If I'm proven wrong in this, fantastic, because I think the game's amazing. I do think, though, it's a little bit basic to really engage people for more than a month. In like a really viral, concentrated way. But it's taken over the internet.
Why has Fall Guys taken over the internet? Like, what are they doing right? And just so you guys know, we have reached out to Oliver, I believe his name is, who is running the Fall Guys Twitter account. And he is, fingers crossed, going to be coming on the podcast very, very soon.
I have questions for that man.
What's your perception of why they've taken over the internet and what they've done so well?
Honestly, it's just a bloody good game. Like, I'm not going to overcomplicate it. Don't get me wrong. I think the way they're doing their social media is incredible and genius and super, super smart. But I really just ultimately think it just comes down to the fact that it's a really fun game. It's in that battle royale format that people are obsessed with, but it's actually a really fresh take on it. Kind of introduces the fun party style, like of like Mario Party type game with the battle royale, which I think is just genius. And I think, you know, they've made it something that's super interesting to watch for like streamers. So streamers are just basically free advertising like mad over it because they are just playing it nonstop. They're smart. They made it really colorful. They made it funny to watch. And I think that's a huge thing with games these days. If you can make it something that is really easy to share and show on you know, kind of YouTube and Twitch, like it's the most powerful marketing machine out there.
100%. And I don't think they did anything paid, did they?
I don't think they did.
With creators?
No.
Not that I saw.
Yeah, they had some early, they did some early access stuff for free, but yeah, they really didn't really go out there and
how did it blow up so fast?
Streamers fell in love with it. Every single streamer was like, this game is amazing. I want to play this for hours.
That's crazy because I feel like I didn't see any marketing from them, and then suddenly it was just like literally everyone was playing it.
I saw some like little clips of it when it was like in the closed beta thing, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. Uh-huh. But then when it came out, it all of a sudden was just like, oh my God, have you played Fall Guys? Have you got a win yet? Have you got a crown? I got a crown. You get a crown. But like, you know, that was literally, that was actually it. And now like but the way that they're running that social media account as well, just, you know, give
it's fucking genius.
I don't think you can fully attribute all the success to it, but it's definitely done a bloody good job. And I think that guy, the guy running it is doing a really, you know, he's hitting the tone of how to be like a fun, cool, relatable, you know, kind of social media account. And I think that, you know, that thing they did, where they're basically being like, whichever company you know, commits to donating the most money, we will give you a skin in the game. And I think that's like that, like just stuff like that is so smart. It's like how to raise $500,000 in like a day.
It's so smart. I think at the time that we're recording this, they're up to $300,000, I believe, when I checked, which was like just before this episode. But I feel like what they're doing right, and I want to like save a lot of this conversation for when we actually get to talk to him, but I feel like a lot of what they're doing right is that it doesn't even feel like a brand. They're tweeting as though they're a person, you know? Like they're like getting memes, but not in like a cringy, memey way that like brands do memes to try and like be down with the kids. Like they're really interacting with their creator community. They're and do you know what I think is like the number one thing when you know someone's doing it right with their social media is when they have in jokes with the audience, you know, like all of this narrative around like Tim and like, you know, Mr. Beast and that sort of thing. Like there's a narrative there. And if you've been following their social media account for the past week or 2 weeks or whatever, it's like you get the joke. You understand the joke. And therefore you feel like you're part of something in that community. I think they've just like completely nailed it where it feels totally effortless. But I would like give way more credit to the guys behind that. They're absolutely killing it.
Yeah, oh my God. I think it's such a good job. And it's good when you can just tell people are having like a lot of fun actually like interacting with it, you know?
Yeah.
Like everyone in the community is just absolutely like loving the chats. Like, you know, they're loving the back and forth, they're loving the banter, they're loving the fact that the account's giving you know, Tim the Tap Man crap for the fact that he can't win. And you know, it's just like it's just good. It feels like a fun community to be a part of. But I'm very interested to see how long it can hold traction for. I think it could obviously, you know, still continue to be very popular, but I think it'll depend a lot on if they're able to introduce custom levels, if they're able to remove team modes, please, for the love of God, and how they're able to, like, keep the game fresh.
What do you think, because you've been streaming it a bit, and you uploaded a video on your second channel, you've uploaded one on your main channel now, like, as a creator, what makes you decide to upload another game? Because we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when we did the Q&A and you were like, yeah, there's definitely games that I have a lot of fun playing, but that I would never upload because I know that it just won't resonate with my audience or it's not as popular, it won't get the views. Like, what made you decide to upload it on your main channel?
It got views.
But that, it got that, views that was... on your second channel, you mean? Or it not got my views main when channel. You were streaming?
On my main channel. It was
no, but like
views...
what made you decide to upload it on your main channel?
Oh, because I saw other people getting like comparable Fortnite views on their main channel. But that was literally, that was everyone, right? Like no one initially posted video on it. The game was out a week before any of us did. Because yeah. Everyone
people were nervous.
And like we put a toe in the water and people streamed it. And when we streamed it, people had a lot of the time more views than they would on Fortnite. And then that was like, a,
that's
oh,
crazy.
You know, like, because, you know, so for me, if I'm playing Fortnite, say average, you know, 25K views roughly, right? Like 25,000. If I'm playing a random game, it'd normally be like, you know, 8,000, 10,000, maybe 15. But we're playing Fall Guys and like 40,000 viewers. And you're like, oh, okay, damn. Like people really enjoy watching this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately,
why do you think people enjoy watching it? What you were saying earlier about it just being like colorful and fun.
Yeah, I think it's
battle
colorful,
royale, but simple.
Yeah, exactly. It's got that narrative. You just watch a single round and you can like follow the journey and see if that person's going to be able to win. If you're playing with friends, it's got a lot of good banter. It's very, very colorful. It's very like fun and easy to watch what's happening. Like it's very understandable. That's why I think third person games do so well. It's why Fortnite does so well. You can like see the character and it sounds
yes.
weird, but being able to see the character run around really allows for a much more, I don't know the word, but basically like it just allows you to visually convey what's going on a lot better.
I totally agree. As a viewer and as someone that doesn't play a huge amount, I find Fortnite so much easier to watch and more enjoyable to watch than other yeah. games because I just feel like I'm able to conceptualize the world better, if you know what I mean. Like I'm able yeah. to just like see everything that's going on and get it.
Whereas, it gives you like, that perspective.
If it's first person, it's like quite difficult. I have to be like, oh, what's... I don't know. I find it that was really poorly articulated by me, but I definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
All righty. I feel like that is a good place to leave it for this week.
Yeah, very.
Hopefully, we will have the Fall Guys guy, main guy, on the podcast very, very soon. We've tweeted at him. Elliot's had a couple of little DMs, so I'm keen to get them out of the moment on watch time. But guys, thank you so much for watching this week. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel and leave a comment. Tell us what you think and rate and review on Spotify and Apple. And we will see you guys next week.
Goodbye.